Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11, and when you find that chapter, let's stand together and read one verse of Scripture tonight, all right? Hebrews chapter 11. We're trying to get sign language to go in here and get the microphone on, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, let's read verse number 28 together tonight. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. That's correctly reading one verse of Scripture, Hebrews 11, verse number 28. And may our Lord add His wonderful, glorious blessing to the reading of that verse of Scripture. Father, we thank You tonight for the privilege to be in God's house. And Lord, thank You for this verse of Scripture that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, has penned down for our learning and our admonition, for our comfort and for our help. And Lord, just to bless our hearts and lives as we meditate upon the wonderful Passover Lamb, our Lord Jesus. I'm thankful tonight that the Passover Lamb has given me shelter behind the blood. I'm thankful tonight for the Bible that tells of the written account of what You did in the land of Egypt and how You gloriously, Lord, brought Your people out. Now, I pray that You'll visit us tonight. Lord, we need a divine visitation from God. It's my prayer that You would just open the windows of heaven or rend the heavens and come down. And Lord, that the mountains may melt under Your feet and that the people of God may be revived. And Lord, that old wayward sinners might be saved. Lord, that they might be delivered from the death angel. That they might be spared that awful penalty of death. I pray that You'll give help to the preacher now. Give me liberty tonight. Help me to say everything as You want me to. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, that verse of Scripture is without a doubt one of the most important verses in all the Word of God. And what I've got for you tonight is speak and weevil, or whatever it was Benny said. But I want to take that verse of Scripture and try to preach tonight for a little while on faith and the Passover. I'll tell you, there's nothing like our Passover Lamb. It ought to have our hearts stirred beyond measure to consider the shelter that we found behind the blood that night when the death angel passed through the land and smote the firstborn of all of Egypt. Now, church, we're continuing in our study in Hebrews 11, and we've been looking there at the different aspects of faith, or the character and the nature of saving faith. And for the past several weeks or several messages, we've been looking at this man by the name of Moses. And he's no doubt, I've said this, I'll say it again, of all the characters in the Bible, he is my favorite. And probably, maybe with the exception of Paul, had the most intimate relationship with the Lord of any human being that's ever walked. I tell you, it'd bless your heart to study the life of Moses. If it does not do something to encourage you to draw nigh to God, then there may be something wrong about 6 inches below your old collarbone. I tell you, when I read about him talking to God face to face as man talks with a man, it just stirs up my heart to no end. When I read about him getting the law, and when I read about the times that he led the people of God, I'll tell you, it does something extraordinary in my soul. Let me say by way of introduction that there's more to say about Moses in the 11th chapter here than there is about any other individual in the chapter. And I don't think that's hard to figure out. Moses was a divine lawgiver. And it was him that the Jews esteemed very highly. And of course, their eyes were set on him and the law. And through that, they had the idea that by keeping the law, that they could inherit heaven and be saved. And but God put so much in this chapter about faith, I believe, to convince the Jews that it was by grace through faith that men enter into heaven and not by the works of their own hands. Folks, I tell you, I'm amazed at how folks are deceived in 1997. Brother, we had a man call in here on the marathon and made some challenges about the Bible and wanted us to read certain scriptures and challenged us to read them and then to interpret them and so on and so forth about how a man is saved. And here's what that man told me. I asked him, "Sir, how were the Old Testament saints saved?" He said they were saved by the blood of goats and bulls. I want to say to you, friend, that in itself is a lot of bull, because nobody ever been saved by the blood of an animal. But I'm telling you, it was by the Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus, that shed His blood and gave His life that His sin might be placed on the mercy seat yonder in heaven to make a way for you and I to enter into God's glorious heaven and into His holy presence. It's not by the blood of a goat or a bull, but by His own blood He entered in one time and thus has obtained eternal salvation for us all. You better know that's right. That's right. And he was a divine lawgiver. See, they championed Abraham and they championed Moses. And I've often wondered, I sat today and I was trying to figure that out. It looks like that God would have talked about Moses first and given the law and then let Abraham live and let him live by faith. But I got to thinking that God put her down in that book for you and I. And we're not looking at salvation through the eyes of God. We're looking at it back from man toward God. And as we look back, we see the law first, and then we see faith second. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, why is that so?" I'm going to tell you why it's so, friend. Because no flesh has ever been justified in the eyes of God until they first fell under condemnation. And God gave the law last that you and I could look at the law, and through the preaching of the law, sinners could be condemned. But looking beyond the law to the grace of God, they could see faith in Him and be saved by the grace of God. That's right. That's right. Now let me say this. There's at least five different times here, or five different, five definite actings here in faith recorded here about the life of Moses. I personally believe that they set forth a divine order in Bible salvation. I said a divine order. I'm telling you, there's men today that's got the cart before the horse. They've got the cart before the horse. Now, I know this will sound like a rehash, and it is. But just bear with me for a little while. If you look in verse number 24 of Hebrews 11, you'll find there that the first thing Moses did was refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then in verse number 25, he had to make a choice. He chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then in verse number 26, he esteemed something. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And then in verse number 27, he had to forsake something. He forsook Egypt and not fearing the wrath of the king. May I say to you that these all preceded his faith in the Lamb. And brother, I'll say to you that in every penitent sinner that's ever been saved by the grace of God, they'll be the same pattern in your life as what they were in the life of Moses. Honey, we're living in a day when men say just believe and be saved and then try to separate themselves from the world. But I'm going to tell you, repentance don't work that way. It's always been repentance first and faith followed, and God has never saved any rebel while he's a living down yonder in the quagmires of sin in the world. I'll clarify that a little bit in just a minute. I hope some of it will sink in. No man, I want to say it again, no man or no woman can rightly value the blood of Christ while they're wrapped up in this world. I want to say, hey, somebody said, you got proof of that. You got proof of it sitting right on the church pew beside of you. Have you? You want Brother Ricky Vincent to come up here and testify about how he got saved? When did you start appreciating the blood, Brother Ricky? Huh? When you throwed that stinking television out of your house, got the stinking cable out from under the house, throwed all that garbage out the back door and said, I'm a-coming out of the world. I tell you, it was then and then only that you began to appreciate the blood of the Lamb. You ain't going to appreciate the blood of the Lamb running down here with the theaters and honky-tonks and movie houses and all that mess. No, he had to refuse and he had to repent before the blood meant anything to him. I know that's right. Repentance always precedes faith. Every time. Always. Run that by you always. This crowd that's still running to Hollywood, still running to the beaches in their bathing suits, still running to the Colosseums and watching still watching Dolly and some of that crap. Hey, they ain't saved. No, sir, buddy. That's right. God never saved anybody and left them in the world. God brought them out of the world and then saved them by the grace of God. Amen. That might be some of your problems in here tonight. That may be some of your problems. You may still be living in the world trying to get saved by the grace of God. Amen. You may be trying to believe before you repent. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'll say this. A man can repent and never believe, but he cannot believe without first repenting. Some of y'all look green around the gills. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth is repentance? Sorrowing over sin. Hatred for sin. Turning from sin. That is repentance. That is repentance. Oh, yes. I want to read this. To cry, believe, and say nothing about repentance is to falsify the terms of salvation. Son, when our Lord was ready to ascend back to heaven, the commission that He gave in Luke chapter 24 was that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all the world, beginning first at Jerusalem. And it's not faith and then repent. It is repent and believe for the remission of your sins. I know I'm telling it right. Amen. Just believe. Well, I've heard them say, well, the Philippian jailer, Paul told him all he had to do was believe. That bunch of idiots read their Bible, they had realized that he had already repented. Amen. Now listen what I'm going to tell you. To invite sinners to receive Christ as their Savior before surrendering to Him as Lord is to present a false way of salvation. Amen. No wonder that crowd don't believe in the Lordship of Christ. They've never been saved by the grace of God. I want to remind you on the road to Damascus, buddy, the first words that came out of Paul's mouth is, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Son, you don't get saved 20 years down the road, surrender to the Lordship of Christ. You got to throw up the white flag of surrender and cry, Lord, whatever you want, it's all right with me. That's right. Amen. I know that's right. I know I am, Brother Jerry. To bid the lost to come to Christ without telling them they must forsake the world is to fill the churches up with unconverted people. Did you hear what I said? That old stuff, just believe. That ain't what he told Moses. Moses had to refuse. Moses had to choose. Moses had to forsake. And then the blood of the Lamb was applied to the doorpost and the lintels of the house, and it was there on the inside that they learned the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Son, you ain't never going to appreciate the blood of hobnobbing out yonder and thinking you're saved and a living right. Oh, may God help us tonight. I know I am. That's right, I know I am. Well, Jack Howell saved me. That's your problem. Jack Howell saved you. Curtis Hudson saved me. That's your problem. Curtis saved you. You'd be surprised how many I've had tell me Bob Lamb saved me. That's their problem. Bob saved them. Repent! And by the way, Acts 2:38 don't pose a bit of problem for anybody that's got any sense at all about the Bible. When those men were pricked in their hearts, they cried, men and brethren, what must we do? And Paul, and Peter cried out, repent! And then he said, repent, and if you repent, that Savior Yehudah be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your repentance and faith will bring remission of sins in your life. God help us, friend. God help us. Amen. I'm going to tell you what we got, son. We got a bunch of worldlings that claims to be saved and join the churches. And they talk, and while they don't have any shout, they don't have any joy, they don't have any dedication, they don't have any devotion, they're unfaithful, they can lollygag at a racetrack. I've had them to leave here. I've had them to leave here and get mad because I preached against racetracks. Somebody said, Brother Hall, it ain't nothing in a little bit of fun. I'm not a going up there around that crowd where they're selling liquor and a cussing, bless God, smoking long green, chewing long green tobacco and smoking Marlboro cigarettes. I'm telling you, that's out of hell. I've had people to get mad at me about worldly junk like that. Amen. Hanging on the world. Just look at people around you. They claim to be saved. And they're still living down yonder in Egypt. They don't know the value of the blood. For a man to tell me he's been saved, the people got saved by the blood of a bull, he has no earthly idea. He's blind to the fact of the blood of the Lamb, the Passover. That's right. Amen. That's right. To tell sinners they must find rest unto their souls without taking Christ's yoke upon them, is to tell a direct lie to our Lord's command. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. When? When you find rest for your souls. Come on, when you find rest. Hey, when you take that yoke upon you. I got a little old, Miss Hall bought some little old books the other night, and the other day at a yard sale, and I was laying there the other night, an old monk was at the house. He always wants to pop her to read her them books. And I opened up a book and started reading it to her, and it showed a couple of little old men sitting in a cart, and they had a yoke of oxen hooked up, and they had that yoke. They had that yoke around their necks. And she said, Papa, what is that thing on them cows' necks? I said, well, that's oxen. But I said, them not cows, they're oxen. But I said, that's a yoke. And she said, what's a yoke? I said, it's two things that held animals together. and brought them on the same plane of labor and work together. Son, that's exactly what the yoke of Christ does for a sinner. When you take your yoke, His yoke upon you, it brings you into unity and harmony with the Lord Jesus, a plowing and a laboring in the field together. Why, you can be saved now and just hobnob and be unfaithful and lay out and do whatever you want and be... Oh, come on now. Oh, no. Hey, no man's ever been saved without taking that cross.
That's right.
No! That picking up that cross and coming after Him, you ain't never been saved.
That's right.
Don't you think you're going to get through this world without packing a cross and a little struggle and hardship?
Right.
Forget it, neighbor. Forget it. This easy believism crowd has all but run. That's right. The easy believism crowd and the Hollywood evangelism has destroyed evangelism in America. That's right. We've told folks all they got to do is kneel and say some little prayer and go down the road of Whistling Dixie. They're all right, and it's out of hell. I want to say again, it's out of hell. It ain't true.
Hey,
praise God. Amen. That's right. I want you to listen now. Turning from the world. Now look here. In the first four verses there, Moses refused. Then he chose. He esteemed and he forsook. But I want to say to you, friend, that forsaking, turning from the world and forsaking a sin is not enough to save a man. You want me to run that by you again? Turning from the world and forsaking sin is not enough to save a man. Let me ask you something. What would have happened in the life of Moses? What would have happened had he refused and chose and esteemed and forsook Egypt? But he'd have never applied that blood to the doors and the lintels of the house. Are you hearing me well? I'm getting down. I'm just now getting to the message. Son, you can forsake sin. You can depart from the world. Amen. Look up here now. Ladies, you can wear your dresses to the floor. Let your hair grow like Rapunzel. And men, you can shave your heads. Put on your long sleeve shirts. Button them up to the neck. Bless your heart. Wear long breeches. Amen. I tell you, turn from every wicked imagination on the earth and die and go to hell.
Amen.
There must be a laying hold of the Lord Jesus Christ for any sinner to ever be saved.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear what I said? You can forsake it all. But if there ain't a Passover lamb in your life, you're lost. Come on now. Loosen her up, buddy. I'm right down where we live. I'm satisfied to these people that's championing their dress. We're Pharisees today, buddy. Oh, look at me. I got my hair in a bun. And a little white cap hanging on the top of the bun. I got my dress hanging all the way down to the floor, and my husband don't wear shorts. Well, hallelujah to God. But have you ever laid hold of Christ? Have you ever been partaker of Him? You know what Jesus said to the Pharisees in His day? Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciples. You know what He was saying? He said, you got to be partaker of me. You got to lay hold of Christ. Amen, buddy. You're separated. That's right. Y'all might as well say amen. Son, it's crept into the Baptist churches. I don't care if I make all of them out there and listen to it. I'm just going to preach it like it is. You hear me well. Son, we've got Pentecostal people that believe in speaking in tongues and having dress standards will get them into gates of glory, but it won't get the job done. Son, you better lay hold of Christ. Get yourself inside the house with the blood on the outside, for the death angel is affixed to move through the land. Bless our hearts. That's right. Amen. I'm going to say something. When that death angel come down through Egypt, he didn't look in the door and say, are you wearing a dress, mama?
Right.
He didn't look in there and say, so, husband, daddy, how short your hair. In fact, he didn't even look in. He looked at the blood. All of the fighting with Pharaoh. All of the contending with the devil. All of his refusing and choosing and esteeming were all of him vanity of vanities. Had Moses not by faith followed the instruction of God and took that blood upon hyssop and laid her on the lintels and the doorposts of the house.
Yeah.
Coming out of the world wasn't enough. He was out of Egypt. He was living in Egypt, but in Goshen, separated from all the Egyptians. But honey, he still had to apply the blood. I think I've either bored you or lost you. One of the two. Amen. That's right. That Passover lamb. God told Moses, said, you tell the people in Exodus 12. He said, you go tell the people to take a lamb of the first year. Perfect. Out of the sheep or out of the goat. Said, set that lamb up from the 10th into the 14th day of the month and scrutinize that lamb. Examine that lamb. Fairly look him over. Because
yes,
your Passover cannot be a lamb with a spot or with a blemish. It's got to be perfect. No spots, no blemishes.
Yes.
And on the 14th day of the month, he said, you kill that lamb.
Yes.
And roast it with fire. You know what the fire is a type of? That fire is a type of the wrath of God that was poured out upon the Lord Jesus when He died on Calvary. I'm telling you, that fire that roasted that lamb is a type of the wrath that every sinner will suffer unless he gets saved by the grace of God. Said, you roast that lamb with fire. Roast that lamb with fire. And he said, don't break a bone of it. And I don't much care for this, but he said it, so I believe it. He said, you eat the pertinence and all. Don't let nothing be left over to morning. And if you leave anything over to morning, take it outside and burn it. You know what he's saying there? Somebody said, well, I'll just make Jesus my Savior, making my Lord down the road. You know what that's teaching, friend? You'll either take Him all or you won't take none of Him. He is not just your Savior. He is Lord. Lord of Lords. Yes, sir. And you'll take Him all or you won't take none of Him. You can't just have part of God. You'll either have all of God and He'll have all of you, or it won't work. That's what that worldly crowd wants. Well, I'll just take part of God and give God part of me. Hogwash. No, sir. And he said, you take the blood and put it in a basin. When you put that blood in the basin, take hyssop. Go outside your house and put it on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now listen here. He said, I'll pass over you that when the destroyer passes through and smites the firstborn of Egypt, that he'll not smite you. Jesus, what God's saying there, I'll hover over your house. When I see the blood, I'll hover over your house. That the death angel, do you think the death angel didn't try? Y'all better hear what I'm saying. You think the death angel didn't try to get into those houses? I don't want to get. I'll get on that in just a minute. But you know he did. Had it not been for the blood there, and our Passover lamb, and the Lord hovering over us, the death angel would have smitten every firstborn of the Jews just like he did of all the firstborn of Pharaoh. Now, bring me to my message. The Passover. Look here now. I've got to rehearse a little bit. Moses had already refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had already chosen to suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had already esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And he forsook Egypt, not fearing the king. Went into Goshen and killed that Passover lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and lintels and went inside the house. I want everybody to get this, buddy. And I hope that some of our Church of Christ folks is listening. And I hope some of this oneness Pentecostal crowd's listening. That's right. I hope they're listening. But tell me you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. I want you to listen now. When they went inside that house, do you know what it did? It shut them up to nobody but the Lamb, buddy. It shut them up to Him! I'm going to tell you how God works in a sinner's life. Son, He'll hem up a sinner and shut him in to nobody and no way and no escape but Him before you'll ever get saved. That's the way it worked in your life, Brother Ricky. Amen. Ricky tried everything. Some of you in here tried everything before you tried Him. But I tell you, the Passover Lamb will shut you up. You'll realize there's no hope but Him. Amen. I've already said it. I want to say it again. It shuts up the sinner to Christ till he sees no hope in nothing but Jesus. Are you hearing me? No hope but Him! Thank you, Brother Ricky. I needed that. Amen. When those Jews stepped inside that door, when they put that blood on the outside, stepped on the inside and shut the door, they were saying, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but a holy, lean on Jesus' name. Son, there was nothing, or nobody could help them but Him. Shut up to the blood. Shut up to the blood. Well, I've been baptized. Well, who doody scoop poopy do for you, Billy? Somebody said, Brother Hall, you'll make them mad. Maybe they need to get made mad. Have they already called? Good. Let them call again. You know what I say to that? I say the same thing to that Jesus said in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I tell you, it ain't nothing but a heathen a raging against the blessed grace of God's all it is. Amen. But the heathen rant and rare and cuss and call. It ain't bothering me a bit, buddy. I'm like Brother Doug Thompson. I ain't afraid of none of them. Amen. I got a lethal weapon sitting back there and a few more scattered around. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, well, He saved them another way. It's always been by the grace of God. Through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And I say amen and hallelujah to God through it all. Man, somebody said, where does grace come in? Well, I'm going to tell you where grace comes in. God gave the instructions to the Jews, not to the heathens. That's right now. What grace. What grace. Oh, what grace. Can you see faith there? Look here. Can you see faith? Hey, they knew God would do what He said He'd do. That's one thing a sinner's going to have to realize, that God Almighty will do what He said He'd do. You know what God said He'd do? He said, I'll smite them all! Everyone, the firstborn, if they ain't behind that blood, I'll smite every one of them. Now you look here to me. Somebody said, what about them Egyptians? I'm satisfied. If them Egyptians by faith had killed them a lamb and went in that house and put the blood, there'd have been some saved Egyptians down in the land. It's by the blood. Hey, look here. That makes the gospel to whosoever will. I said that makes the gospel to whosoever will. The problem of Pharaoh and his servants and people, they wouldn't. Somebody said they couldn't. Oh, yes, they could. I'm telling you, the miracles of God was set forth and manifest to that lost crowd. This crowd around Madisonville won't have an excuse when the trumpet sounds. Them folks, if they're calling, rebuking me about what I'm preaching, they'll stand before God without an excuse. Only it won't be at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be at the great white throne. You know it has. Amen. Yes, they are. But Brother Jerry, say that, will you?
Land on dangerous ground.
Amen. That's right. They are too, buddy. Dangerous ground. But that Passover lamb shuts up the sinner to Christ as his only hope. That Passover lamb, look here, it manifests his trust in the Lamb. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There was nothing else for him to trust. In thy hand no price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, and there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody said, I'm a trusting in Buddha. Somebody said, I'm a trusting in Confucius. I'm trusting in John Smith. Some of them probably trusting in John Doe. I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus. Bless your heart. Yes, that's where my hope is at. I trust Him. Now, I don't say this to be ugly. We went up today and eat a regular. We tried to eat Tuesdays up this Chinese place. I like Chinese meal. And went in there and walked in the door, and the first thing you see is a big statue of old fat belly Buddha about that big sitting in there. And the guy that owned the place, little boy, he come over there and around fooling around the table, and they brought her food, and he just talks and carries on, talks. And I said, now, Jonathan, I said, we're going to pray now and grace our food. I said, need to be quiet, so Brother Halton, pray and grace the food. So I bowed my head and began to pray. When I got done, he's standing right there beside of me. He looked over at me and said, we don't pray that way. He said, we don't bless our food like that. I said, Jonathan, how do you bless your food? He said, we bless our food, Father, in the name of the Father, Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost. Bless our food. Bounce this bounty through our bodies, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I thought, now look here. Somebody said, well, they're a Catholic. Hey, I thought people don't know what they are. There's a man that told me that he was a Buddhist. Got a picture of, got an idol of Buddha sitting right in the front room and practicing Catholic religion. He don't know what he is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How's a man like that? What's he putting his trust in? He don't know. Hey, he might put his trust in pot belly 1 minute and a cracker the next minute and a wafer the next and a ginger of wine the next. He don't know. But I'm telling you, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him. That's right. Amen. Somebody said, what are you preaching on salvation on Tuesday night? Somebody probably needs to get saved. Manifest his trust in the Lamb. There was room for faith and nothing else, nobody else, but the Lamb sitting on the inside. And I'll say more about that maybe in just a minute. And by the way, in his Lamb's body and the Lamb's blood, they eat the body, they took the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. The sacrifice and the cleansing. Are you hearing me? The body, the sacrifice, the blood, the cleansing. What a lesson you're getting tonight in salvation if you're paying a bit of attention to what I'm saying. I'm telling you, that's right. You're getting a class. You're getting a seminary class tonight on salvation by grace, whether you know it or not. I guarantee it. Because it ain't preached anywhere. It ain't preached. They'll pick up one of the stories out of the New Testament. I know Curtis Hudson's dead, and I'm not hammered on him because he's dead. But I'm telling you, I never heard him preach anything but 3 points on how to be saved. And all it was believe. Point one, believe. Point two, believe. And point three, believe. That's all I ever. That's right. I've heard the man preach. I'm not being ugly either. But I'm telling you that all over America, people since 1950 or 60, have listened to that stuff. All you got to do is believe. You don't have to repent. Don't have to come out of the world. All that. And I'm telling you, we've got a pagan nation. Yeah. Our country's going to hell. Are you testing what I'm saying? We're eat up with pleasure. The very thing that Moses refused to have. Our country is eat up with it. That's right. And people that claim to be saved. That's right. And then, look here, not only does that Passover shut up the sinner to Christ, his only hope, manifest his trust in the Lamb, but it testifies to the value placed upon the sprinkled blood. Oh, how precious. Yes. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own precious yes. blood. Oh, that's right. Not redeemed, knowing that we're not redeemed by corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood. By the Lamb of God. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you realize how valuable the blood of our Lord really is? I'm going to tell you, this crowd talks about being baptized and being saved. They don't know nothing about its worth. They don't know a thing about its worth. Mm-mm. They tell me that a theologian come to my old alma mater, my school I graduated from some time back, and taught in a college down there, and told them that the blood of Jesus was not offered in the mercy seat in heaven, that it just run out on the ground. Somebody asked me, said, "What do you think he carried it to heaven in?" I don't know. But I've got an idea. I've got an idea. I can tell you what they put it in the Old Testament days. Basin. Now, I don't know that he did. But he got her there some way, buddy. Somebody said, "Where's the blood at?" I'm going to tell you where she's at. It's on the mercy seat. She's on the mercy seat in heaven itself. Somebody asked during the marathon, said, "Brother Hall, let me ask you a question." Said, "Do you believe that we'll see the blood when we get there?" Oh, it's Brother Sammy Allen would say, "Oh, yes! My, oh, yes! Something as precious as the blood, you know! We're going to get a glimpse of the blood when we get there!" What do they call that big fancy word for hardening up? What do they call that? You're a nurse. Coagulate, what do they call that? Coagulate, what do they call that? Clotting up and everything, is that what that means? I'm going to tell you, it won't be coagulated either.
Right. Amen. Thank God.
Amen, preacher. She'll still be fresh, boys.
Thank God.
Still fresh.
That'll be, that's right, brother. Somebody said, "Brother George," somebody said, "Where's it at?" It's right there on the mercy seat.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I wait till Jerry gets back from running because he'll want to hear this. Now, I'm not preaching this as truth, but I'm going to tell you what I heard preached. Some men laughed at it. I heard some men kind of laughed at it, but I've not laughed at it too much because I don't know. And I'm not going to make a mock of spiritual things if I can help it. But here's what, hey, let me ask you. We talk about putting the blood on the mercy seat. Let me ask you a question. What is the mercy seat? Come on, Bible college boys. Who is the mercy seat? That word propitiation means God, in the final analysis, means God was satisfied with Jesus. That word propitiation literally means he became our mercy seat. Now, here's what I had heard a man to say. I'm not going to argue with him about it. He said, yonder on Calvary, when Jesus died, said that they had first carried him to the Roman judgment hall, and Pilate had commanded him to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. And said, then he made him carry that cross up Calvary's hill, and they drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and they pierced his side, and out come water and blood. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 that his visage was so marred that no man, you could not even recognize him as being a man. They tell me that in the Hebrew, that literally means that the Lord Jesus looked like a piece of beaten meat hanging on the cross. Just a piece of meat, bloody meat hanging on the cross. And here's my thought, if he's the mercy seat, and the blood's on the mercy seat, those Jews, when that thief looked over at him and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." God, Brother Jerry, I got bumps running all over me.
Yes.
He's looking right into the very face
yes.
of the mercy seat of God.
Yes!
Yes. I'm wondering what we'll see when we get there. If he is the blood, and he's the mercy seat, and he's the lamb, and he's all in all. I don't know what we'll see, but hallelujah to God. I believe it'll be fresh and as real then as it is now. Wow! Yes! Bless his wonderful name. Had blood. His body was thoroughly drenched and covered in his blood. Here's the thought that I'm conveying. What did he carry it back in? Well, I'll tell you, If you go to the tabernacle, everything in it was a type of Him.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So He may have carried that blood back on in His own body and offered it there on His own body. That's the point I'm trying to make. Oh, bless His wonderful name. Let me ask you something. Hey, let me ask you something. Talk about, well, I've been baptized. Son, you better get under the blood. Well, I joined the church. You better get under the blood. Oh, I've repented and come out of the world, and I dress right, and act right, spit white, talk right. You better say, lay hold of the Lamb of God. Hey, if they did not eat of that sacrifice and put the blood on the doorpost, they'd have died and went to hell. That's right. Now, I know what they'll say. They're ultra-dispensationalists. Well, He saved in a different way back then than He does now. You know what I say to that? Brother George, I got your seat wet. Not literally. That's right. Can I say to you, look here now, that blood applied on the doorpost, what was passing over that night? That death angel. May I say to you that that blood was the only thing between them and death?
Yes.
That's all! That blood was all that between them and death!
Amen.
He said, surely, he said, as I live, he said, for just one step between me and death. I'm going to tell you, friend, one step's enough. When you got the blood between you and that step. Oh!
Amen.
6 inches is enough when you got you and the blood between the 6 inches. Oh! Amen.
Hey!
Who's that knocking on my door? Death angel, I've come to smite. God, I'm worldly. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I couldn't help it. That blood was all between them and death. The Passover. And I'm just going to hurry through these now. Just bear with me just a minute. The Passover, and then I see the peace. The Bible said at midnight a cry went up. There was such commotion. This is what he put his faith in now in the Lamb. It was that Lamb. Hey, it brought peace. Now everybody look right up here at me. You see, we don't even understand what peace is today. Well, you ask somebody, well, what is peace? Oh, I feel good. Well, I just feel so relaxed. Can I tell you what peace is? May I tell you where the peace was involved in their salvation? Their peace came when they ceased fighting against God.
Amen.
That's when a sinner finds peace, buddy. It's when he stops fighting God, stops resisting God. You know why there was no peace in Egypt? Pharaoh was still a fighting God.
Amen.
He said, Moses, go tell him, amen, Moses. And I'm satisfied that Pharaoh and all of Egypt knew exactly what God was a-doing that night, for Pharaoh pronounced his own judgment. Moses said, you've said it right. Said there's going to be a death angel come through tonight, and God's going to smite the firstborn in Egypt from Pharaoh's house to the man that's in the dungeon, and none will escape. Buddy, they knew quite well what was coming. But you know what Moses, you know what Pharaoh did? He still kicked against the pricks. Hear what God told Paul when he saved him on the road to Damascus. He said, Paul, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? You know what kicking against? You know what fighting conviction? I'm going to tell you, I'll just go ahead and give you these. I'll tell you what fighting against God is. It's not yielding to God's demands. It's not surrendering to God's will. Hey, no wonder some of you may not have peace. Have you really yielded to what God says in the Bible? Have you surrendered to the will of God? Have you done what God wants you to do in your life? I'm going to say this to you, buddy. You'll have to surrender to the demands of this Bible before that blood can ever cover you, buddy.
Amen.
You ain't going to find peace from God. I can't get peace here, and I can't get peace there, and I can't get peace here. Have you ever just sat down in the arms of Jesus?
That's
Me and Miss Hall had a little old thing that we used when we'd come out of mission school. And we joked about it for years. She would say something to me that I didn't think was right what God wanted. And I'd say, you better get back in your chair. And what it was, I was praying about going to the mission field. And Miss Hall I went to talk to Brother Crumpton about it. Old James Crumpton, very wise man. And we were standing there talking to him and about the will of God for his life. Miss Hall said, something about, I don't know, he asked her how she felt. She said, I just don't have the same feelings as my husband's got on that. And Brother Crumpton went and got a chair. And he said, Mrs. Hall, he said, you need to get in your chair. You hearing what I'm saying? In other words, Mrs. Hall, you need to find a place of rest.
Right.
And sit down in Jesus.
Amen.
And let Him take care of you wherever He leads you.
Amen.
Church, are you listening to me? That's why some folks stay in a turmoil all the time.
Yeah.
They have never surrendered to God's will for their
Amen.
Life. They have never ceased from fighting Him. Oh, we come to church. If we put our tithe in and we pray and we're faithful in revival meetings and faithful to the marathons, we're faithful in everything. But look here, have we really surrendered to God's demands for our life? Have we really yielded ourselves and surrendered to God's will, whatever it might be for us? See, all God said was go down there and get in the house, kill that lamb, put the blood on the outside of it. And Pharaoh said, not me. I'm tough. I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. No peace, hey. The Bible said there's a cry went up at midnight, such as was never heard in the land of Egypt. Because, and I'm not paraphrasing, it says there was not a house in all Egypt where one was not dead. And that brings me to this point. But let me say one more thing about that peace. Have you ever ceased from having your own way? Have you ceased from having your own way?
Amen.
Are you hell-bent on doing it the way I want to do it?
Free.
I'm going to tell you something. Well, Elvis had done it his way. Yeah. Went to hell, too. Are y'all listening tonight? There's the Passover, there's the peace, and then the protection. Protection from what, Brother Hall? From death.
Amen.
I want to do something. I want to do this, and I want you to check on your children. When I do this, I want you to be faithful, and I want you to be honest. The Bible said that all the firstborn in Egypt died. And it says there was not a house where there was not a death. I want to ask you to do something for me. If you're here tonight and you're the firstborn in your family, whether it's you or your children with you and they're the firstborn, I want you to stand up.